September 24th, 2018. I'd like to begin by introducing first the Bureau of Development Services staff.
Hillary Adam.
Members of the commission here today are?
Ernestina Fuenmayor.
Maya Fodi.
Annie Mahoney.
Kirk Ranzetta.
Kristen Miner.
Matthew Roman.
Commission members are private citizens appointed by the mayor to provide review of new construction or remodeling projects within designated design zones. We are not paid, but serve entirely as volunteers. More detailed information regarding the purpose and function of the commission can be found in the Portland Zoning Code. Commission members must declare conflict of interest, bias, or ex parte contact prior to the staff presentation of a particular case. If a commission member has conflict of interest or bias, they are not allowed to participate in commission discussion or voting on that project. If a commission member has had an ex parte contact, they must declare the substance of it on the record and is subject to rebuttal. So the first item on the agenda for today is items of interest. Hillary?
I have a few things and hopefully they'll go quickly.
Okay.
The first thing is I want to acknowledge that this is Kirk's last hearing after 8 years. He started November 1st, 2010, and will be officially done with his second term October 1st of this year. We'll bring him back, though, to present the state of the city at the City Council on the 10th. But over those 8 years, I did a little bit of math, and you've basically put in probably at least 500 hours of volunteer time, on average, probably about four hours a hearing.
Don't tell my wife or dad.
So. I think she'd appreciate it. That's about 460 hours in the hearings room and in retreat rooms, but probably countless hours writing letters and appearing before council, etc. And so I want to say thank you. The city thanks you, and I hope you find something else to fill your time.
Thank you. No, I appreciate it.
Yeah, your fellow commissioners appreciate you and thank you as well. So.
Yeah, I'll totally add to that.
Thanks.
Thank you.
You gonna take up golf?
You know, I wouldn't mind going back to playing golf. The last time I caddied, actually, and that's how I put myself through college. So, but then as soon as I got through college, I figured out I had to pay to play golf, so that's not fun. And all of a sudden, the joy kind of went away. Anyway, thank you.
Yeah. So on that note, because Kirk is leaving, we will have a vacant chair position, so we should nominate new leadership to begin October 2nd, essentially. And we can do that now, if you want.
I'd like to nominate our current vice chair, Kristen Miner.
I second that.
As chair?
As chair.
Okay. Can we take a roll call vote on that?
I support that. I don't know how to do that.
Yeah, please.
Commissioner Fuenmayor?
Yes.
Commissioner Mahoney?
Yes.
Commissioner Roman?
Yes.
Commissioner Fodi?
Yes.
Chair Ranzetta?
Yes.
Commissioner Miner?
I accept. And can we get a nomination for vice chair?
I have a nomination I'd like to put forward, and that is my fellow Commissioner Maya Fodi. I think in your time on the commission, you have already learned quickly how to speak up in a way that the public can really understand what the guidelines are. You apply them judiciously. You're very well respected in the community, and I think you would make a great vice chair.
Thank you.
I'll second that.
Commissioner Mahoney.
Yes.
Commissioner Roman.
Yes.
Commissioner Miner.
Yes.
Commissioner Fuenmayor.
Yes.
Chair Ranzetta.
Yes.
And Vice Chair Miner.
I think you already got me, but yes. Okay. Did I answer twice?
Oh, sorry. The extra yes.
And then Maya.
And Commissioner Fodi.
And I accept. Thank you.
Yay.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
I look forward to that. Two more things. The state of the city, I think I mentioned it last time, but I just want to confirm again. The time has moved up to, we're back to 3:30 from 3 o'clock. So it's October 10th at 3:30. And then the fourth thing is in your packet, I sent basically a two-pager or one sheet back and forth, or double-sided, about part of the your proposal that's going forward at City Council on October 3rd at 2 o'clock. And I do believe that they will be taking testimony because there are 3 hours reserved. And this is essentially just about placarding and tenant notification. So I don't know if somebody wants to take this on and testify before City Council. I can try to get you on the list early. There will be additional code language coming forward, probably, I don't know what time, but next year, that will actually talk about the code requirements and what triggers seismic upgrades. So this is just about placarding and tenant notifications.
Hillary, do you believe that we could get an invited testimony slot for that?
I can try. I can ask for that.
That's all you can
or at least get down there and put your name on the list early.
I'm so happy to. Oh, I mean, I don't know if anybody else, because I went down there before and I sat there and I never did anything. So I left.
Yeah.
So I'm happy to take list. This on and okay. Sort of. But it's basically just so in support of this, just sort of
the URM
support.
Can we? I guess. Would like more information on it. I mean, it's sort of interesting that they would put this in place before having any sort of financial backing for people to retrofit. And I'm worried about the repercussions of, you know, to people's businesses, mm-hmm. you know, if these are placed on buildings. If the presentation to City Council, if we can make some recommendations and if everyone's in agreement, you know, about we're in support of this, if other things are sort of in process to put in place.
Sure.
Yeah, I would love to. I reviewed it quickly and it would be, I don't know when, but to have kind of a discussion about it. And again, I was going to reach out to California contacts, honestly. And what, you know, what were the impacts? I mean, did it affect anybody? Was there blowback because of this? What were the, did people not, you know, lose business because people really didn't want to enter the building? You know, I know that, you know, we're involved with the URM survey in Washington and just to get an understanding of the quantity of URM buildings. And there's a real concern that we start calling buildings URM, people get worried. So I totally agree with that component. So I don't know. Will we have an opportunity to meet before just to, or so I could send,
we can establish a subcommittee to take this on and forward the commission's support and concerns mm-hmm. on October 3rd, just because we won't be meeting again in this room before then.
So are they going to actually identify, like properly identify the URMs or, I mean,
They're all mapped
and they're confirmed so. Through, I mean, sometimes you can only do that through testing.
Yeah, well, I believe that there is a way to appeal that designation.
Okay.
Well, technically, any single bearing wall made out of unreinforced masonry makes your whole building an unreinforced masonry, or classifies it that way, I think. So I also, just to chime in, I kind of share the concern. Is there a flip side for the folks that have done the retrofit, that they get a plaque that says this building has been retrofitted to meet, because I think we're going to, every building now is going to be looked at through that lens, and the ones that have been retrofitted, I don't think they're going to get the credit for it. So and I don't know, I'm just it is a scary thing to put a plaque on the front of a building that says don't go in here, it's unsafe.
And tenants should have an equal right to know that the building has been retrofitted.
Right.
I mean, because it does, I mean, if they are prospective tenants, they'd like to know what they're paying their rent for.
that there may be buildings out there that don't realize they're unreinforced because their majority of them is not unreinforced masonry. But the West Block, for example, a wood frame building with a brick veneer, was on a unreinforced masonry bearing wall. And, you know, technically some bearing walls could be left, but when they had to retrofit it, they had to basically get rid of all of that. So wasn't really required for the seismic. Sorry, I don't mean to confuse the situation.
So are we suggesting that we would support a more nuanced sign program, perhaps? I mean, I do think your point is well taken, Annie, that we should ensure that, you know, this is going to be followed up with, you know, a real program, you know, mm-hmm. and not just a scare tactic of putting signs up and then we'll see what else happens.
Yeah. And without education, without kind of giving the owners an opportunity, right, to ameliorate the situation.
Right. I support that.
I'll even add that if you follow their own things and classify all the buildings the way they've done, all the Class 3 buildings are not going to be required to stand, or they shouldn't be total collapses, but they're going to be damaged in the big one, even if we retrofit them to the standard that they're requiring. And so to imply that because you were classified as a Class 3 apartment building and went through the diaphragm upgrades and all that, that therefore you're as good as a new building is just, it's just not true. So
bless you.
Okay. So do we want to set up just a small subcommittee to get together and discuss what the message is in probably 2-3 minutes? The city council?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
I can help with that.
Okay.
So Maya and Annie.
Do we have a third?
Thank you, guys.
If you guys want my help, I don't know.
Thank you. Yeah. All right.
Maya, Annie, and Matthew.
It may be just not having a totally figured out position, but raising all the sort of liabilities that are involved that they need to think about, because maybe we don't have all the answers, but we should at least raise the poignant questions.
And I think this is the opportunity to do it, yeah.
Okay.
Good.
Okay. Filter communication through me, or just copy me on your communication. And then we can move to item 2.
And the second item on the agenda today is